From the Land-Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 19th day of August, 2026. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets, crop tour, and the weather. In Chicago, futures finished the corn about a dime higher. Soybeans were up around 20 cents. And the wheat futures finished 15 to 18 cents higher. We'll hear more about that in just a moment right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Greg Johnson from TGM Total Grain Marketing now joins us to talk about what's been happening in the marketplace. He's here at the Grain Elevator owned by TGM in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks much for being with us. Crop Scouts are out and about with Pro Farmer this week. They've been finding exactly what you have been talking about, variable. As a variable crop. Can you tell me about what you think about the crop as a whole across the United States and what it looks like here in our part of the world?
I'd say before August, we were looking at maybe a slightly above average crop. I think the East was too wet early. The Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Eastern Illinois was too wet. Then you go out west and Kansas, Missouri, the Dakotas were a little on the dry side. And then you had most of Illinois, most of Iowa, most of Minnesota were in the Goldilocks spot, which was just about right. So, you know, that's where we were. And then we've had all these storms come through in August. And so I think we've taken a few bushels off of that crop. I don't think we're at a disaster type number, but instead of being a couple of bushels above trend line yield, now I think we're probably a couple bushels below trend line yield.
I have a question about the movements in both of the corn and the soybean charts. Since the month of August began, and we can look back at July and we had a high, that would seem almost seasonal, correct? And then we got the beginning of August and things dropped, and we've been contra-seasonal since that time. Are there good fundamental reasons behind either the move in the corn or the soybeans, in your opinion?
Let's take soybeans first. Farmers sold last year's beans too early in their mind, in retrospect, because the price just kept going higher. We were below $10 a year ago. So when beans got to 11 this year, farmers sold most of their old crop beans out of their inventory and actually started selling new crop beans, which is a profitable level. I don't think I want to criticize anyone for selling $11 beans. We can make money at that. But I think because the market kept going up, they feel like, oh my gosh, I sold too low, too early, so I'm not going to make that mistake again. And so now the bins have kind of, the selling has dried up as far as farmers are concerned. They, you know, if they get to $12 cash, I think that'll trigger another round of selling. But until then, if we get to that level, I think they're content to just leave what they've got sold on the books and not add to it at this point. As far as corn is concerned, we never really have been back to the highs. We're still 20 cents off of contract highs that we made in May, and that May rally only lasted for about a day and a half. So most farmers did not get an opportunity to sell corn at what they call good levels, or what they would consider good levels. So that's why I think we're not seeing the corn market do as much as the bean market, because the farmers will sell corn as we approach those old contract highs, whereas beans, the farmers feel like they've sold too much too early and are very reticent to sell any more beans at this point in time.
The stocks to use ratio is very low, in that 7% range for new crop soybeans, 10% for corn. I think 10% for corn would tell us tipping point, so that's what, neutral. But stocks used for soybeans should be viewed as bullish. The question is, how much more bullish do you think that market actually could be, particularly going into the harvest season?
And now we get to the wild card, China. China continues to buy spot purchases of soybeans from the U.S., which is the good news. The unknown is that the USDA already has them penciled in to buy 25 million metric tons, which is 900 million bushels, almost a billion bushels. To put that in perspective, we grow 4.4, 4.5 billion. So basically a quarter of the beans get exported to China. So that they are a huge wild card. Are they going to buy the entire 25 million metric tons? We hope so. I think with all the purchases they've made in the last month, we have them up around not quite 50%. So they've made a good dent into what USDA says they're going to buy. Will they buy the entire 25 million? Will they buy more? Will they buy less? We don't know. But I think that recent China buying is probably the biggest reason for the rally in the soybeans.
President Xi is due into the United States at the end of the month of September. Does that give producers time at these levels, maybe, to consider when to make a sale?
I think so. I think the perception is that, you know, President Trump will do everything he can to help encourage China to buy more soybeans than just the 25 million metric tons. And from China's point of view, if they can talk the U.S. into lowering the tariffs on the products that China ships to the U.S., that's a $1 trillion industry. And so I would think they would be more than willing to spend a few billion dollars if they can get back trillions of dollars in tariffs on trillions of dollars of their products. So I think that's the reason for optimism in the beans. Farmers are hoping that when Trump and Xi get together, that good news will come out of that meeting. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Spillover effects for corn?
Spillover effects for corn, yes, because in addition to the 25 million metric tons, supposedly the agreement that was agreed to earlier this year says that China will spend another $17 billion on U.S. commodities, non-soybeans. Now, that can be pork, that can be cattle, that can be wheat, but it could be corn. $17 billion is a lot of dollars to spend, so number one, that hasn't gone through. You know, it's not been officially announced, but there's that possibility that if China shows up to buy corn, as you said, the tipping point on the stocks to use ratio at 10% is very, you know, we could go either way. And if China does show up and buys corn, that stocks to use ratio drops into single digits. And there's your reason for optimism in corn. Now, the flip side is farmers have not sold much corn. So any rally in corn will be met with some pretty good farmer selling, which might keep a cap on the rally. The funds are also long corn and soybeans, and you never know when the funds are going to reverse positions. But there's reason for optimism, but it doesn't feel like a runaway market. So again, I think farmers just need to figure out what's a profitable level for them based on the updated yield prospects, and have offers in ready to sell corn and beans at levels that they can make money at.
And keep your eye on the USMCA negotiations. Thank you, too, for being with us today. We appreciate that, Greg.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. We've been following all week long the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, both the eastern and the western leg. Sherman Newland now joins us. He's with Zahner Ag Hedge and is traveling through the state of Iowa, the western edge of that state today. Thanks, Sherman, for being with us. What have you seen so far today?
It's been a little disappointing, in my opinion, from what we've seen in the past. I mean, things look kind of green, but you can tell corn has been, you know, under some stress at some point. Earlier on, but they've had some rain to kind of help green it back up, right? We started around Arcadia, Iowa, so we've made some five stops now. We've been in Ida, Sac, and Woodbury County. Our first stop was surprisingly disappointing. It was 131. And then the highest stop we've had was the fourth stop, and that went 250. But our truck average, Todd, is 187. So far, that's 18% down from last year and 6% down over the three-year average. So kind of disappointing, kind of surprising, actually.
Okay, what else have you seen as it relates to the corn crop?
Stands are kind of all over the place, kind of on the thin side, if you ask me. There's You know, it looks like some plants that have come up a little bit late or came up late, and you can tell that they really didn't put on an ear and the stalk is kind of puny. I've seen that in every field. And I don't know if that was related because of moisture or you know, how it germinated, but I see that at home too, but it seemed like I'm noticing it a little bit more here right now. So I don't know. So far, like I said, I was surprised that we're down as much as we are and we haven't found any really good yields. And then as far as beans concerned, the average is 1131. That's down 33% from last year. That's a lot. And down 22% over the three-year average. So beans, for whatever reason, are just, you know, surprisingly low for us.
So given what the bean crop is doing, what the corn crop is doing, I'm going to guess that you're not coming to any conclusions like producers cut back on seeding rate and or nitrogen rate.
No,
I didn't think so. No.
No, I can't tell that. I mean, nitrogen, I mean, everything's staying pretty well green, you know, so I don't see any nitrogen loss. I mean, any moisture in it, but it's not overly wet like we, you know, were in yesterday. So yeah, I'm assuming, you know, I think part of this wasn't part of this area, Todd, you know, dry for a while or has been dry, from a drought monitor map standpoint. So I assume that's been a big part of the, you know, the lower yields that we're seeing. But, yeah, I mean, more rain right now is not going to help the corn crop over here get any better. It just, again, will maybe help hold on to what it has. I mean, as far as the beans go, yes, beans always need more rain until they start turning. So and we haven't seen any beans up here starting to turn yet.
Hey, thank you, Sherman. Sherman Newland is with Zahner Ag Hedge and traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. On the eastern leg in the state of Illinois is Oliver Slope. He is with Blue Line Ag Futures and near Macomb at this point. Hey, thank you much for joining us, Oliver. What have you found so far today?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Always good to hop on with you. Yeah, we're working our way west through the state. We started out this morning with about an hour drive south to get to our first county. So we started down near Blue Mound, kind of just south of Decatur, worked our way to Taylorville and then went west and then back north. So we've been covering some good ground. We've covered, I'd say, about 10 stops so far, the bulk of those in District 6. And as of right now, things look to be a little bit underwhelming, which is kind of in line with what we've seen through the first couple of days of crop tour. Things have improved as we've worked west, but still a little bit, I wouldn't say a disappointment, but again, maybe a little bit more underwhelming. So through those first few stops in District 6, I think our average yield count is about 193.77. That would be down 2% from the Pro Farmer five-year average for that district, so a little bit softer. I've been talking with some other scouts on other legs of the tour. They've kind of seen a little bit better than that. So it'll be interesting to see what Pro Farmer comes out this evening. But all in all, I think the yield is really just the lower year counts and population. I think that's taking a hit on things, and I think a lot of that's attributed to the wet spring we've had. Obviously, those first few days in Ohio and Indiana, extremely wet, standing water in almost every field. So, you know, that's going to be something to keep an eye on, I think, particularly for beans here over the next couple of weeks to see how that has an impact. And I think, you know, talking with a lot of farmers, it's a big question mark. Will it have an impact? Absolutely. How much of one? I think it's still to be determined. But as we've worked west, things have dried out a little bit more. So that is encouraging that we won't have to worry with much about that as we work into western Illinois and into Iowa.
Thank you much, Oliver. Oliver Slope is with Blue Line Ag Futures and traveling in Illinois today on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Last night, Pro Farmer announced the Nebraska and Indiana tour results. They show 163 bushel, or thereabout average, for corn in Nebraska. There's a 14 bushel differential, so 177 or 78 is closer. 183 was the USDA's August number. Indiana yield at 183.5. And the differential puts that at about 189.25. 206 is the USDA number. Well, continue to follow along with the Pro Farmer Crop Tour for the rest of the week. Let's check the weather forecast across the planet to see how the growing regions are faring. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hello again, Drew. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, good afternoon. I hope you're having a good week.
We are. I want to start with some of the crazy weather, because I said planet, that we've been having around the planet. Maybe not always in the biggest growing regions, but there are just some strange things happening. What have you been watching?
Yeah, the latest statistic that is mind-blowing is coming out of the Philippines. They have had just an enormous amount of rain here over the last few weeks. It actually started in late July, but in August alone, we were looking at August 1st through the 18th, the western half of Luzon Island, that's the northernmost big island of the Philippines, they have had between 14 and 32 inches of rain, which that isn't so unusual for them in the tropical season. But there are a few locations in west central Luzon that have had more than 67 inches of rain since the first of this month. So that is what's mind-blowing. There is a lot of rice that's produced in that area of Luzon. And there's a lot of people that live there, and the flooding and the impact on infrastructure and personal property has just been horrific. They're taking a little break right now. It'll last into Friday, and it's going to start raining again over the weekend, and we're going to see heavy rain return again during the work week next week. So this is an ongoing event that needs to be closely monitored. Now, in that same area of the world, while it's raining crazy in the Philippines, it's not raining in Indonesia in the south there, and that is directly associated with El Nino. And that is going to continue for a few months yet. The number of wildfires in western Kalimantan, Indonesia, has increased from just 3 fires about a week or week and a half ago to about 7 now. And this is just the beginning. We will see that whole area of the world light up from fires, I'm sure, by the time we get to the end of the year. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then if we just a few other areas that have been impacted by El Nino in the realm of dryness would include southern Thailand, parts of southern India, and a portion of central Myanmar. But the other place that has been exciting with crazy rain, of course, was Hawaii. And I'm sure everybody heard about that tropical cyclone or the Hurricane Lala that passed by the southwest coast of the main island there of Hawaii this past weekend and produced 30 to 43 inches of rain, causing a lot of problems there. And then, of course, there's France. Well, you know, France is having one of the worst droughts they've had on record. The river and stream flows are absolutely horrifically low. I understand some folks that I know took a tour on the rivers in Germany and France both, and they ended up having to walk some distance getting out of one raft and moving into another one in order to get through the river system because the ground had showed to the point where they couldn't float all the way down. Anyway, France, of course, has had just a crazy hot summer, record heat, and that, believe it or not, is not associated with El Nino. It's part of a drought that started a year ago. And then here in the States, the Southern Plains, you know, we were looking at the temperatures this morning. You know, it's been over 100 degrees in at least a portion of the Southern Plains from southern Kansas through Texas for the last month. It started July 20th and has been going on every day. And we have at least 10 more days going, coming up for that. So crazy, crazy weather.
Wild weather. Come back to Indonesia for just a second. That does have an impact on the vegetable oil market, soybeans in particular, because of palm oil being there. Dry weather, of course, drought is a problem for palm oil that is produced in that part of the world. It also, the El Nino might have some impact, I suppose, in parts of Brazil, particularly the center west, Mato Grosso and other states. They're planting, first planting date that they can actually begin to plant because they can't plant until after September 1 to try to control the spread of Asian rust there. But they need to have some moisture in the ground. When do you expect them to get rainfall, and will there be enough to get started?
Yeah, most of the rain in Brazil here recently has all been in the south, which is fairly normal for this time of the year. The rains are usually concentrated from parts of Paraná into Paraguay and down into Rio Grande and Uruguay, and that's pretty much where it's been all winter long for them. The rains don't usually start in Mato Grosso until the second half of September. Now, they can have some showers once in a while, but they're usually so poorly organized that it's a big risk for anyone to plant aggressively any sooner than that. And the general rule has been to be focused on the last half of September. This year, we are expecting the shower activity to start relatively normal in that state, but it is going to be sporadic and it is going to be lighter than usual and combined with some heat. So there may be a few issues that will show up there. As we go forward into the heart of the planting season in Brazil, we will see a lot of rain in the south. And in fact, I would not be surprised to see some planting delay and some replanting necessary as we move from October into early November in some of that area. In the meantime, if you're really interested in long-term planning, northeastern Brazil should be very late with the arrival of monsoonal rains this year, and it will be hot there. And they will likely have a reduction in production just simply because of that feature, hot and dry weather. That'll be November into January, so that'll be fairly significant. Now, that is northeastern Brazil. That would be places like Piauí, Maranhão, Tocantins, Bahia, and some immediate neighboring areas there in Minas Gerais and northern Goiás. So that'll be the area that folks will watch. And Mato Grosso should do okay later in the season after the spits and spats early in the on. They should do better when we get into November, I'm sure.
And quickly, here in the United States, we need the sunshine. Maybe a few periodic showers would be great. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, these cool temperatures are a concern. We're really not getting much of a heat unit out of the daily warmth. Temperatures are going to be stuck in the 70s and lower 80s for yet another full week and maybe 8 or 9 days. And we still have this excessive moisture occurring from eastern Nebraska into Ohio and West Virginia. And that's a lot of important real estate there. Some areas are in worse shape than others, obviously, and we definitely need to see a complete stoppage of the rain for just a little while and maybe some warmer temperatures to get these soybeans back on track. They don't like their feet being wet this long, and they certainly don't like the cooler temperatures. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that maybe when we get into the very last days of this month and more likely in the first week of September that we can turn this around a little bit.
Hey, thanks much. We'll talk with you again soon.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, at WILLAG.org.